This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Very good to have you with us here with William Hill this morning. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham in the studio on the Golf Podcast, looking ahead to the final week of the PGA Tour season with the season-ending Tour Championship coming up from Eastlake. And we've got the KLM Open on the European Tour as well. But first of all, as we always do, a reflection on last week and a winner, a 66-1 winner for the man sitting next to me, Mike Grenham. Billy Horschel taking out the BMW Championship. Mike, first of all, very well done.
Thank you, Dave. Pleased with that one.
I would usually play a clip here, but the clip was just a little bit too long, Mike.
You usually play a clip when you tip a winner. When I do, we don't bother.
That's not true, listeners. If you are listening for this to this podcast for the first time,
shall I go through the 2.5 minutes? I can easily recount it.
That's a scurrilous statement that you've just made there, Mr. Grenham.
Well, true though.
He putted like a demigod, didn't he? You mentioned on that clip last week that he was putting well and striking the ball well, but he putted incredibly well last week.
I don't think I've ever backed anyone who putted quite as well as he did last week. He just didn't miss any putts that he should have got, if you know what I mean, and got plenty that I wasn't expecting him to get. So he played ever so well. He's a bit of a character. He's great to watch. He's a great ball striker, and he thoroughly deserved the win. His putting was immense. And apart from a couple of little misdemeanours on the final day, under a little bit of pressure, which you can understand, I thought he was a really deserving winner. So I would have been absolutely bereft if he hadn't won, though, after Ogilvy the week before and missing Henny Otto and Mahan. I wasn't very happy.
We had a comment, didn't we, on Twitter?
Well, yeah, saying I was a bit miserable last week.
Yeah, saying that you were a little bit miserable last week. So
heaven knows I was miserable then, as Morrissey would say. But, so that was a real... I was praying he'd win, and he did great. But he's a good... I think he's a really good player,
didn't he? Oh, yeah. Incredible
talent. I think he's one to watch in the next couple of years now. That's a big win for him to win a FedEx playoff. As you say, whenever he's rolling the ball well and putting well, I think he's going to be a factor because his game, all round game's good if he's putting well.
Quick word on Mr. Sergio Garcia. A little bit of a meltdown later on.
What was he doing on that par 5 where he took, was it 8 in the end?
Yeah.
I was upset for him. I was upset for him as I punched the air and danced around the living room. He's not on my list to back anymore, Sergio. As talented as he is, there's just something always goes wrong, doesn't there, in the big ones.
On the European Tour...
You don't mention you and Furyk placed as well?
No, Furyk and Fleetwood both tied for fifth.
Furyk, money back for those, they both placed.
Fleetwood was a... Fleetwood traded his favourite for a long time on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed with Fleetwood. Furyk, backdoor, tied fifth.
With Palmer doing a similar kind of carry-on to Garcia and blowing it in the final few holes, you did scrape in a bit with Furyk. But Fleetwood could easily have won, couldn't he? Really? He'd be kicking himself a bit.
Yeah, the back nine on Sunday, the putter just went cold. He played arguably the best golf of anyone all week, and for him to miss out was a little bit galling.
David Lipsky, though.
Yeah.
The man that you highlighted at 2000-1 or whatever it was, in his second early season. And you weren't on him.
No, it was annoying. He beat Graham Storm in the playoff, if you missed the event. His layup on the first extra hole, the playoff hole, was a strange choice, but vindicated when he got up and down in the end.
Yeah.
Radar Riley was giving him all sorts of abuse on the coverage, even in his winner's interview, which I thought was a little offhand. But David Lipsky, quality player, he'd been playing well for a couple of weeks and got his deserved maiden, the European Tour win.
Yeah, good. Mm. No, well done him.
Let's get on to this
week. Let's get on with it.
This is it's a good week, very good golfing week. We'll come to the Tour Championship in due course. Mm. But as always, we'll start with the European Tour event. It's the KLM Open, and Joost Luiten, defending his title, is the 11-1 favourite. Paul Casey, 20-1. Brooks Koepka and Thomas Bjorn, both 22s. Mark Warren, Shane Lowry, Simon Dyson and Tommy Fleetwood, all 25s. And it's 33s bar. And we return to Kenema, hosted last year when Loughton beat Miguel Angel Jimenez in a playoff, and he calls this his fifth major use Loughton. He loves playing his home open, and this is a short course, Mike, by modern day standards, really. Only measures 6,626 yards and plays as a par 70. There's a definite links feel to the venue. Simon Dyson's won here a couple of times, has three wins in the championship in total. You've got to be able to deal with the wind, and results suggest that accuracy prevails over power. I think that's certainly the case here, Mike.
Yeah, well, most definitely. It's not a long hitters event. Neither of this week's events are, actually. They're both similar requirements. Relatively good driving off the tee, I think. Then accurate second shots. And obviously the putter's in, as always, in, if you want to win, the putter has to be hot, as Billy Horschel proved last week. You've got to be putting. But no, I don't think you need distance in these, in either of the events this week.
And as mentioned, this course hosted the championship last year, also hosted from 2006 to 2009, before 3 years at Hilversum golf course. The form tends to compare, tends to transfer from one venue to the next. Very similar form lines, in my opinion.
I agree.
Couple of picks for me, Mike.
Yeah, I've got four picks here, Dave. I've gone dual alley.
Okay.
But you mentioned...
You're playing it up, aren't you, now?
I've just gone mad. I'm just going to have... I've got seven tips in the Tour Championship. There's only 29 players. No, I've only got two. Four picks, Dave. Top of the list is Simon Dyson, who you've already mentioned, a guy who's won this event three times and won a couple of times at the track, as well as being third last year. So he certainly loves this event, and he loves this course. He's in very decent form this year. He's got fifth places in the BMW events at Wentworth and the one in Germany, as well as seventh last time out in the Italian Open. I'm not going to say much more about him other than he just loves the event, and at 25-1, I think he's a decent price.
Yeah,
his form figures here are, you know, exceptional for this course. So two wins and a third out of five starts, and a 12th and a 27th, the other two. So you'd be very hard-pressed to see him not around the top 10, hopefully the top 5, and with a bit of luck, maybe holding a trophy aloft again on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, just running into a little bit of form with that 7th in Italy. Does absolutely love it here. He was one of the last names off my list, Simon Dyson, at 25-1.
It's not the most blue-sky thinking picks, but... I just think he'll be there or thereabouts, Stephen. At 25-1, he's got to be on your portfolio.
I'm going with David Horsey as my headline selection here at 50-1. He won the Russian Open about a month ago, and I like his fit for Kenema. Drives the ball very well without being long from the tee, and he's got very, very good touch around the greens as well, which I think is something you need here. He's 18th in scrambling this season. He was 9th here last year. He ranked 9th in driving accuracy that week, and had a good week with the putter as well. His iron play was a little bit off here last year. It's an event he likes. 4th in Hilversum in 2010 and 6th in 2011. He even finished 35th here in 2009. I'm not surprised to see a little bit of mental letdown following his win in Russia, but 14th last time in Italy was more like it. And I believe he's primed for his second win of the season at a golf course that suits. So I'll go with David Horsey as my headline pick at 50-1.
Okay. I've gone for Robert Carlsen as my second pick, Dave. I nearly left Carlsen out here. I've got two outsiders at big prices that I want to, well, reasonably big prices that I want to have in. And Carlsen was the last man on my list to nearly left him out, but I know I can't leave him out. He's such a good links player and has had so many good finishes on links courses this year. 4th in the French, 8th in the Scottish, 12th in the Open. Just been playing very well all year until the last couple of events where he's missed the cut last weekend, actually, in Crons, which was a big surprise when I picked him. Played pretty poorly, in truth. But if he comes back to anything like the form of recent months, I expect him to go very well this week. Can't work out what's gone wrong there, but the slight reservation being that he doesn't have any course form, but he likes links courses. He's available at 40-1. I just couldn't leave him out because I've expected him to have a win at the back end of the season.
Yep.
It could well be this week.
Robert Carlsen, 40-1, Mike's second pick. My second and final selection. I'm going with one of your old favourites here, Mike. Gregory Bordy at 80-1 is my second selection. I thought it was an inflated price. I understand the price because he's missed his last couple of cuts. Gregory Bordy. But I can see this venue really suiting him. It's 32nd when he played here in 2006, so it does really suit him. And I finished pretty decently to finish 8th on his last visit in 2008. Didn't drive the ball that well when he finished 8th in 2008, but he's 8th on... I'm saying 8th a lot.
There's
here.
A lot of 8s going on.
He's 8th in driving accuracy on tour this season.
Let's hope he doesn't finish 8th.
No, let's hope that he sneaks into the places at the very least. Didn't play that well last week at Crohn's, but not got a particularly good record there. Record a little bit patchy. He's strong early season form. I thought 80-1 was just inflated. Very good results at the Irish Open and in France earlier in the season. Drove the ball brilliantly in the Czech Republic 3 starts ago, but closed with a 78, which dropped him down the leaderboard. That included a 9 at a par 5. So that was slightly misleading, that 23rd place finish there. He was actually only one behind Jamie Donaldson going into the final round. He obviously won the event in the end. So I'm going with Bordy at a golf course that suits, drives the ball well. 80-1, I thought, was an inflated price on the back of a couple of miscuts.
Interesting stuff, Dave. Yeah, I do like Bordy, although his form in recent months has just put me off him a little bit. Mm. But I am going for two of his compatriots, actually, to make up my portfolio on this this KLM Open. Gregory Havre is my third pick, third in this event last year, which was a very interesting performance by him. And coming back to some good form in the back end of this season, highlighted none better than a second in the BMW International, where he was beaten in the playoff that Zanotti won eventually. But second in that very high-level event in Germany, the BMW International. And he's just a player that excels in the wind, has some really good finishes to his name in top company, very good and accurate off the tee, which, as we said, is important. I think he's near top 10 for that on tour this year, driving accuracy. I just think he's primed to go very well this week. Really interesting performance last year. Bang in form again, 21st in the Crons event at the weekend. Very solid. Finished with a 65. Will go in with very good heart into this event. And, Gregory Havre really makes a lot of appeal.
I like that. 66-1, Gregory Havre.
Final pick is an old favourite of mine, Raphael Jacquelin, who is a very good links player. Hasn't been in amazing form in recent months, but his career is littered with good players on links courses and some bad ones as well. He's a bit up and down, don't get me wrong. He doesn't always shine on links, but he's got some really good finishes, top tens in opens and things like that. And a really player to watch once he gets in. And his last win on tour was at a kind of windy event in the Espana Open last year. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Raphael Jacquelin outperform his odds this week. He's 125-1. I'm looking for him to bounce back to the kind of form that he showed in May. It's May since his last top 10 on tour in the Laguna International. So he's not been shining, as we say, but I'm really tempted by that. If he gets his eye in this week and he's been showing some little signs of coming back to form, I could see Raphael Jacquelin going very well at 125s.
We need a French invasion, don't we, this week on the Netherlands. Three Frenchmen, Havre with Bordy and Jacquelin, as you've just mentioned.
Yep.
Who was closest then? I know you've had 4 picks, but who was closest?
I could have had about 8 picks here. I'm not joking. There was a lot of my short list was long, you know, as we often say. Henny Otto could go well again, Dave. Henny Otto, who's just won, and I missed him really annoyingly the other
66.
Week. 66. Yeah, he's decent at links and he's got some decent course form. Shane Lowry was probably the closest as well, but 25 is a bit short for Shane Lowry, I think, at the moment. He loves links play and has been playing well, but I think he's about right in the market. So those were probably the two for me. What about you?
Søren Kjeldsen. This is right up his street, I think. Yep. Missed the cut last week, but was running into form before then. 8th here last year. So Søren Kjeldsen, I thought, was interesting. He's 66.
Yeah.
Richard Green, who's got good form here, 12th last week in the Omega, reads really well.
Yeah.
In the context of this event, because he'd never performed at Crohn's before. Runner up twice in the event, once at this venue. I thought he was interesting. Richard Green, I think he's 66-1 as well. And the last name off my list was Simon Dyson, who you've obviously picked at 25-1. So
no, well,
hopefully we've got a stranglehold on this.
Well,
event,
you know, Kjeldsen and Green were certainly on my longer list. David Lynn and two players who would have been, but to me, I've been spotted by the market and are way too short. Damien McGrain, who loves it here, and Lee Slattery, but they're both very short.
Yeah,
I was looking for like 125s on those, and they're like 66s. So I think the market's got those two players. But, it's Otto and Lowry were probably closest.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at the season-ending tour championship on the USPGA Tour. Final event of the season. Final event of the FedEx Cup as well. $10 million up for grabs this week. And Rory McIlroy, the 3-1 favourite for the event. Adam Scott, 10-1. Jim Furyk is 12s, along with Ricky Fowler. Sergio Garcia 14-1, Justin Rose is 16s, Bubba Watson and Jordan Spieth both 18-1, and it's 20s bar. It is the last event. Big prizes up for grabs, and these players already have just reward for their finish. They're into the season's first three major championships.
Yep.
Next season's first three major championships.
Yep.
And they've got a chance of a big end of season bonus as well.
They have, and I've just spied at your paper, and you've picked the same player as me as your headline pick.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well,
so I'm going to reveal who our joint pick is. Well, I didn't know this was the case. Obviously, we never converse before the podcast.
But I've
spied it on your paper, and I can't pretend I haven't. We've both gone for Martin Keimer.
We have.
Tell us why, Dave.
I think the course suits. It's a Donald Ross design, first of all, renovated by Rhys Jones in the mid 90s, and he likes playing Donald Ross golf courses, as evidenced earlier on in the season at Pinehurst. That was a Donald Ross design.
Yep.
Won the US Open there. It's been a renaissance season for Martin Keimer, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Returned to his absolute best with a win at the Players and at the US Open. He's coming back into form after a mid-season lull. Followed his tied 7th at the Deutsche Bank, where he drove the ball very, very well with a tie for 16th last week, which looked a lot better before a closing 73. Struggled a little bit on Sunday. I like the fact he's not played as much golf as some of the others as well.
Me too.
Missed the cuts at the PGA and the Barclays, so he's only played a couple of rounds at each of those tournaments. I also think he's got the steel to take the jackpot as well, which I like. He's 14th
he's got the kahunas
in the standings. He has, definitely. Very, very strong in contention. Ranks 24th in total driving. My only concern is he probably needs to scramble better if he's not on, because his scrambling is weak. But if he's playing as well as he has been the last 2 weeks, I think his ball striking definitely gets him out of trouble, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Dave. It's a ball striker's course. Accuracy off the tee is important, and second shots, as we said earlier. And I do, yeah, I think I get your point on scrambling. You need to. It's a tricky little course. Obviously, accuracy being important, so scrambling is potentially key here. But I would say his scrambling stats are probably based a lot on the first 4 or 5 months of the season. His stats are misleading this year. You know, he's not massively high up the driving accuracy or greens in regulation stats either, but he was 7th for driving accuracy at Boston, for example. He was 2nd for greens in regulation last weekend. So I think if you were to take the last couple of months, I think he'd probably look a bit better in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah, two big wins to his name this year. I think you're right. He's got the mental capacity to take the $10 million prize in his stride. And 25-1 in a 29-runner field, he's been probably the second best player this year, hasn't he, after Rory McIlroy?
Yep.
I just think that's a very big price. I obviously had Horschel last weekend, and the player I feared going into Sunday was Keimer. You know, well, it didn't happen for him, did it? But he was brilliant on Saturday, and yeah, I think this could be his week.
Definitely. For anyone that's looking to play in this event, it is well worth looking at other Donald Ross designs to see how they match up. Sedgefield was used, or is used every year, for the Wyndham Championship.
Yeah.
Lots of form ties as far as that is concerned. Aronimink is his design as well. That's been used for PGA Tour events in the last 5 or 6 years. And Donald Ross also designed Oak Hills, which hosted the PGA Championship last season. The interesting thing about that event was he was good, Keimer. Very good that week. Had one round of 78, which...
That's not good.
Which completely... can you catapult someone out of contention?
Yes.
That did catapult him out of contention. But apart from that, other three rounds were very, very solid. I just think he likes the way the golf courses are designed, the way you've got to position yourself off the tee, like you do here at East Lake. He's not got any course form, which I suppose is a slight wrinkle, a slight negative, Mike.
Yes, it is. It is. It's not a positive, is it?
No, it's
not. But... obviously, this is an event that you have to qualify for. It's only the top 30 players every season. So, if you look, there's lots of players haven't played here very often when you look down the list.
Yeah.
You know, or have one event here or max a couple. Some people like Mahan are here every year, and Mahan could go well, that frustrating character, Hunter Mahan.
I love him, me.
Yeah, I don't. Jim Furyk, who I thought you might pick.
He's just too short, isn't he?
Yeah. He's just
too short. He's 12-1 in this field, Jim Furyk.
And he hasn't won since.
And he's not won since East Lake in 2010, which I do reference every time I pick him. Keeps on nicking a little bit.
We got your place again last week, didn't
we?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But actually, at 12-1, you're right. He's probably...
he's got to be too short.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've got another pick as well.
Yep.
Given that this event is a 29-runner field, and therefore, if they were all a level ability, 28-1 would be the kind of right price. I'm tempted by the 66-1 available about Russell Henley, who is a guy from Georgia, who might never have played the course for all I know. I really don't know whether he's ever played at East Lake, but he's from the same state, so he's used to playing on this kind of area. He'll be comfortable in his home state, I hope. And played ever so well the week before last in the BMW. In the Deutsche Bank, wasn't it? Where he was second, and for a long part of that tournament, looked like he might win. I like Henley. He's one of those players, a little bit like Michael Hoey on the European Tour, who can play pretty averagely and then fire him with a win or a big finish out of nowhere.
Yep.
66-1, he catches my eye. I just think he's a great putter, which could be really important here. And as long as he drives it, you know, reasonably well, he needs to have a decent week with the putter, to be fair. Sorry, with the driver. I could see Henley contending. He was pretty decent with off the tee at the event last weekend at Cherry Hills, 14th for driving accuracy. So if he can continue that and continue the putting that he showed the week before on the Deutsche Bank. 66-1 for this guy who's won 5 times on the tour and on the web tour in the last 2 years. He's a winner. I like his chance.
But both those players, Henley and Keimer, will like it to be a tough test as well, yeah. I think. Since the bent grass greens were replaced, Mike, here, back in 2008 with Bermuda grass, scoring has become more difficult than it was in the early stages of the Tour Championship. Eased slightly in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say last year it went the other way a bit, didn't it?
It did a little bit. So it will be interesting to see how tough the course plays.
I think putting is important. You know, it's one of the reasons that Henley appeals to me, Dave. When he's hot with a putter, he can hurl them from anywhere. So, it's a fascinating event. It'll be very interesting, of course, to see how Rory McIlroy does.
Yes, of course. He's 3-1.
What do you think about that?
Were you tempted?
Yes, I was tempted. 72 and I might have been in, because 4-1 I definitely would have been in. He's just a class above everyone else at the moment, and just a couple of silly little holes last week cost him dear for a place, certainly for a place, if not
the
win.
A couple of four-putts, didn't he, on the same hole,
which were like ridiculous. But he took them in his stride. He was laughing about it in the post-tournament interview. It won't put Rory McIlroy off. And, he's accurate off the tee. He's got everything, hasn't he? So, and he just, $10 million will be... he'll be like the cat in Tom and Jerry. The pound signs, the dollar signs will be going round in his eyes. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
He won't be scared to take it, will he?
He will not be scared. He'll be... he'd be like a cat who got the cream, to continue the feline analogy. I did think long and hard, joking apart, about him, Dave, because I think he'd just love to top the year off with this win, and he'll be up for it. And no man better at the moment under pressure than Mr. McIlroy.
Yeah, he's one of 5 players that in inverted commas control their own destiny. If they win the tournament, they'll scoop the jackpot.
Who are they, Dave?
Chris Kirk, Billy Horschel, Bubba Watson, Rory McIlroy, and Hunter Mahan. And I must admit, Bubba Watson was the closest to being picked for me.
Was he?
At 18-1.
Played well last week.
Played very well. 366ers to close out the event. Tied for fifth here in 2012 as well. Struck it fantastically last week. Back to his best, actually, the weekend before at the Deutsche Bank. Last six rounds being 69, 67, 70, 66, 66, 66. I think the venue suits. The only negative is he can occasionally get out of position off the tee, and this is a golf course where you don't want to be wrong side. But he's usually so far down there that he's got short irons into the greens as well. Yeah. So 18-1, just a little bit too short for me. I thought Martin Keimer was by far the best value in the field.
No, I'd go with him. I'd go along with that.
Who else? Do you like the look of?
No one really. No. Well, I suppose Bill Haas deserves a mention, doesn't he?
I thought you might have gone for Billy Horschel as well.
Billy Horschel was very...
back-to-back.
I tell a lie. Billy Horschel was really close to getting a call up to the
squad list.
Yeah, he was, because if there was a bit of 25, I might have been tempted. 20s was just a little bit short, I thought. But he doesn't look the type to me that will be distracted by a big win. I think he'll be chomping at the bit on a course that should suit. Yeah, he could go really well again this week. He was close. He was closest, you're right, and then Bill Haas. But again, both of them a little bit short in the market. But Pat Haas, I don't think will win. He isn't just quite doing enough on the greens for me.
On to our favourite segment of the podcast now.
I'm not having a free lunch, but you won it again last week. I'm not playing.
John Sendon took out Hunter Mahan last week. I give you the odds there. You can't accuse me of any skullduggery.
I'll go for Martin Keimer.
Martin Keimer against Martin Keimer.
Yeah.
Okay, no free lunch bet this week.
And at draw, I win.
Okay. No deal. Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a cracking event. Let's recap the picks then, Mike. We'll start off with yours in the KLM Open.
I'm just relieved I've saved myself a five on the free lunch. I got out of that one. The KLM, I've got four picks, which is more than usual, but I just couldn't leave Carlton out in the end. We will go a point each way on all of these. Simon Dyson at 25s. Robert Carlson at 40s. Rafael Jacqueline at 125s and Gregory Havre at 66.
I'm going with David Horsey as the headline pick, a point each way at 50-1. Gregory Bordy, a point each way at 80-1. And that's it for me in the KLM. And in the Tour Championship,
Mike? In the Tour Championship, I'm going to have a little bit extra on Keimer because I think he's a decent each way, but actually at 25s. I expect him to be in the top four or five for sure. Let's go a point and a half each way. Martin Keimer at 25-1. And a point each way, Russell Henley at... that could be a very big 66 if he plays like he did in the Deutsche Bank. Like that price.
I'll go with you here. I'll play 1.5 points each way. Martin Keimer at 25-1 as my pick in the Tour.
So we've only got two picks in the, which is good considering there's only 29.
We have only got two picks. I thought we were going to have three picks.
Yeah, but
we
doubled up on one. Yeah. It's not. We try not to have seven or eight picks in an event where there's small fields, don't we?
29 runners, two or three enough, I think.
I think so.
It's been good. I've enjoyed it. The season wrap on the PGA Tour, but don't panic. It's back within a couple of weeks, isn't it, in this wraparound season, so we don't have long to wait. Yeah. Rory McIlroy, 3-1 favourite for the Tour Championship. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at dkellner and at mgrenham. Do check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well. At Golf Twit Tipster, that event coming towards its conclusion as well. That finishes with the DP. I think it's still called the DP World Tour Championship on the European Tour. That end of season event, which comes up shortly. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks, and we'll speak again soon. It's been a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.